In today's news headlines, President Joe Biden has picked a top Democratic aide named Jean Sperling to oversee spending of the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan designed to lift the economy from the devastation of the pandemic. Sperling had served under both Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama as director of the National Economic Council. The president, together with Vice President Kamala Harris, are embarking on a tour of the nation called Help Is Here to promote the benefits of the plan. According to the Associated Press, the White House has detailed a theme for each day, scheduling a focus on small businesses, schools, warding off evictions, and direct checks. Meanwhile, Axios reported that Goldman Sachs economists are predicting an 8% growth of the U.S. economy, which, if correct, quote, would mark the largest economic expansion for the U.S. in generations. According to Axios, quote, not only would 8% annual growth denote a stupendous turnaround from the coronavirus pandemic, it would significantly outpace the firm's growth expectations for the U.S. from as recently as late 2020. To fund the American Rescue Plan, Mr. Biden is planning to raise taxes, which, according to a report in The Hill, includes raising the corporate tax from 21% to 28%, increasing the income tax rate on people making more than $400,000 a year, expanding the estate tax, paring back tax preferences on pass-through businesses such as limited liability companies, and setting up a higher capital gains tax rate for individuals making at least $1 million. As vaccinations continue ramping up across the U.S., parent groups are demanding that schools reopen fully after a year of remote education. There were several protests over the weekend in cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles. The demands of the parents were underscored by a new report showing that a year into the pandemic, at least 12 million school-aged children continue to have no access to the internet. Meanwhile, a group of scientists say that their research revealed social distancing between children in a school environment does not need to follow the 6-foot guideline, and that 3 feet of space between kids is just as good at preventing COVID-19 infections from spreading. On Sunday, the nation's top infectious diseases expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, was asked about that research on CNN and said this.
What the CDC wants to do is they want to accumulate data, and when the data shows that there is an ability to be 3 feet, they will act accordingly. They have clearly noted those data. They are, in fact, doing studies themselves. And when the data are just analyzed, and it's going to be soon.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci speaking on Sunday about CDC guidelines on school reopenings. And a new report has found that the pandemic's impact on the mental health of young people has been quite serious. A U.S.-based nonprofit group called Sapien Labs surveyed nearly 50,000 young people in 8 countries and concluded that more than a quarter of them are at risk of being diagnosed with clinical mental health disorders. Among the surprising health impacts related to the pandemic are lead poisoning of children. The stay-at-home orders of the past year have resulted in more toxic exposure of young children. According to the New York Times, last month, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimated that in the early months of the pandemic, roughly 10,000 children with elevated levels of lead in their blood may have gone undetected. And the CDC also found that fewer smokers attempted to quit over the past year amid the stresses of the pandemic. A majority of U.S. prison guards are refusing to take vaccines against the coronavirus in a disturbing new trend. Although rates of infection in prisons are more than 3 times as high as the general public, corrections staff are refusing the vaccine in alarmingly high numbers. A case study of how well vaccines are working are nursing homes, where the infection rate among staff has dropped a whopping 83% after vaccines were dispensed. Nursing home residents have seen a drop of 89% in infections. A spokesperson for the American Healthcare Association and National Center for Assisted Living told The Guardian, quote, "The vaccine appears to be having a dramatic effect on reducing cases, which is extremely encouraging." Republicans remain among the most skeptical group, and Senator Ron Johnson recently came under fire for suggesting, without evidence, that the immunity he had obtained from having the virus was far better than vaccine-induced immunity. Benjamin D. Singer, a pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, told The Washington Post, quote, vaccination provides better and more durable immunity than natural infection. This explains why so many people who had the virus report getting reinfected within a few months. Well-known GOP pollster Frank Luntz recently convened a group of Republican vaccine skeptics to conduct a focus group study on what would convince them to get the shot. He found that people would not be moved by a PR effort that touted politicians getting the vaccine, even Donald Trump. Instead, according to one participant in the focus group, quote, we want to be educated, not indoctrinated. Growing numbers of nations are suspending the use of one company's vaccines based on reports of serious blood clots. Nations like Germany, Netherlands, and Ireland are suspending the AstraZeneca vaccine, which has yet to receive authorization for use in the U.S. But the company maintains there is no link with blood clots, and the World Health Organization concurs. In immigration news, reports have emerged that Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has been dumping detainees who tested positive for COVID-19 at bus stations with no coordinated effort to get them health care or help them quarantine. Meanwhile, CBS News reports that, quote, as of Sunday morning, U.S. Border Patrol was holding more than 4,200 unaccompanied migrant children in short-term holding facilities, including jail-like stations, unfit to house minors. The number of migrant children increased from 3,000 to 4,200. Meanwhile, Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar is leading an effort to end detention of migrants in local jails under the Biden administration. Omar's office sent a letter to the Department of Homeland Security saying, quote, in order to truly sever the financial incentives causing the expansion of an unnecessary and abuse-ridden system of mass incarceration, we urge you to end contracts between the federal government and localities for the purposes of immigration detention. On the first anniversary of her death at the hands of Louisville police, Breonna Taylor was memorialized in Kentucky. As a large crowd gathered to demand justice, protesters gathered in cities across the United States, including in Los Angeles, where this program is based. Taylor's boyfriend, who was with her when she was killed, and against whom all charges were finally dropped, has now filed a federal lawsuit against Louisville police. Kenneth Walker III says his constitutional rights were violated in the botched raid that resulted in Taylor's death and his arrest. On Sunday night at the Grammy Awards, Black Lives Matter activist Tamika Mallory delivered a powerful speech about racial justice and police brutality.
It's a state of emergency. It's been a hell of a year. Hell for over 400 years. My people, it's time we stand. It's time we demand the freedom that this land promises. President Biden, we demand justice, equity, policy, and everything else that freedom encompasses. And to accomplish this, we don't need allies. We need accomplices. It's bigger than black and white. This is not a trend. This is our plight. Until freedom. Until freedom.
That's activist Tamika Mallory at Sunday night's Grammy Awards. And that does it for our news headlines.